Good morning.
Good morning.
So, a minute ago, Mark prayed with me and he commented, I bet this sermon's changed about 6 times since 10 o'clock. Sort of, is the answer. Because as I prepared this sermon, it was quite a difficult one. I found myself feeling as though part of what I was saying was almost a tangent. And I couldn't understand why, but I sensed that that was what God wanted to say. And then through the meeting today, it's reinforced that sense, and God's helped me to understand why he'd done that. You see, the goal today is to talk about a part of our way of life, the idea of pausing regularly to focus on God. But as part of that, I sense that God wants to do, I'm going to throw out a technical term here, a paradigm shift. He wants to change our basic understanding, a background assumption we have about our relationship with God. And once we challenge the assumptions we carry to our relationship with God, it opens up so much potential for us to actually practice this part of our way of life. So that's what's going on here. Now, over the last week, I've realized that there was one big issue in the back of my mind over the lockdown period. And it's that I've lost track of time. I can't tell you how much time has passed since certain things because all the days are blurred. So, to use an example, the church introduced this revised mission statement to be a habitation of God's presence within the community. But I can't tell you how long ago that was introduced. I think it was about a year ago, but it might have been two. I genuinely haven't the foggiest. I sat there racking my brains thinking, how long have we had this? But I don't know. The thing is, for as long as we've been talking about that though, there's a theme that's been drawing my attention, that's been really challenging me, and that's been changing my views on God. And that theme is presence. And I've come to realize that that is one of the most important themes in the Bible. It's there in Genesis. What was special about the Garden of Eden? It was the place where God met with Adam and Eve, where he walked with them in the cool of the day. Eden was beautiful because something beautiful was happening there. It was a place of intimacy, of relationship. Of course, sadly, it went wrong. Sin came in, and Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, symbolically, out of the presence of God. Now, ever since then, every human being has had, somewhere deep in their hearts, a desperate desire to regain what was lost at Eden, to reconnect to that perfection, to reconnect with that relationship that we were made for. And that desire burns within us. And that's where all religion comes from. This desire to reconnect with God. But there's a problem. Because Adam and Eve did not earn the Garden of Eden. They were placed there by God. In the same way, you cannot earn a restored relationship with God. It has to be received as a gift. And when you look through the Old Testament, what you've got essentially is the story of God working to reconnect with human beings. The most common promise in the Old Testament, and in fact the whole of the Bible, is not, as you might think, I will forgive you. It's not, I will bless you. It's, I will be with you. And at each stage in the Old Testament narrative, God draws nearer and nearer. He comes to dwell among people in tabernacles and temples. But they weren't close enough. Why? Well, because if God is dwelling in a temple among the people, that means most of your life you live away from the presence of God. You're only in the presence of God when you walk into the temple. And in fact, only the high priest really entered the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God, which was shut off by this massive thick curtain so that no one else could get in. That wasn't close enough for God. And so you come to the New Testament, when God comes closer than ever before, becoming a human being, living our human lives with us. When you turn to the Gospels, what did you have to do to get to know God? You had to find a wandering preacher and spend time in his presence. You could sit at his feet. You could touch the hem of his garment. You could get so close as to lean your head on his chest and hear his heartbeat. That's how close you could be to God. And as I concentrated on this theme of presence, God kind of blew my mind, because I realized that I'd always treated it as though that theme ended when Jesus ascended to heaven. Didn't. Exactly the opposite. You see, when Jesus died, that curtain, it was torn in two from top to bottom. The top to bottom signifying that God was the one who did it. Because a curtain that's torn from the bottom, it could be that a human being has put their foot on it. And, oops. But in this case, it was God just went, and here's the paradigm shift. I'd always looked at that verse wrong, at that completely wrongly. I'd taken it to be, right, I can come. But you know what else happened when that temple, when that curtain was torn in two? What was in the Holy of Holies could flow out. The presence of God that was contained in the Holy of Holies could flow out to the rest of the world. There was no barrier anymore that could stand against the presence of God. And so when Jesus ascended to heaven, he poured out the Holy Spirit. And now, do you know how close God is to us? As close as the breath in our lungs. Breathe. That's how close God is to you. As close as the beating of your heart. That's how close God is to you. The God who seeks closeness with human beings had gone to incredible lengths to tear apart the barriers so that he could have that closeness. And now, that promise, the promises he gave, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's true. Because his Spirit is in you. As close as the air in your lungs, as close as the beating of your heart, that is how close God is to you. And that's a paradigm shift in terms of our understanding with God, because it means when we talk about we want to spend time with God, it's not a case of our saying, I come. It's a case of saying, I become aware of you. I want to be aware of your closeness. Already, there is no distance between you and God. When you choose to spend time with him, it's a matter of simply recognizing that that distance has already been dealt with and living in the reality that he's with us. Now, this world is full of distractions, things that tempt us to forget the closeness of God. And let's be clear, these distractions, often they are completely legitimate things. This is the tragic thing about this fallen world we live in, that things that are entirely legitimate can steal our awareness of God's presence. And so we get up in the morning and we turn on the news because we want to know what's going on, and suddenly our focus has shifted. And we sit down at work and our focus has shifted. And something's going on in the family and our focus has shifted. And we want to prepare dinner and our focus has shifted. All of these things that distract us from the awareness of God's presence can be entirely legitimate because we live in a fallen world. And so we get distracted from the truth that God is with us every second of the day, every breath that we take. We forget that truth. We lose our awareness of the presence of God. And that is why one of the things that's in our way of life is to pause regularly to focus on God. In other words, to take moments throughout the day to stop thinking about the shopping, work, the family, what you're doing in front of you, and to think, right, you're with me, you're with me, you're with me, and then to get on. Now you'll notice that this way of life, it isn't legalistic, because it doesn't say to pause 15 times a day for 30 seconds to 2 minutes. That's not the point of this. The point is to pause, to give yourself a moment to reflect on the relationship you have with God, to enjoy His presence, to recognize His presence with you, and then to get on with the day in His presence. And you can't legalize that, because it'll look different for every single one of us. Every one of us will find that our pausing to focus on God looks slightly different. So as I prepared this talk, I thought a little bit about some of the different ways I've done this in the past. And I thought I'd toss out a few of them just to give you a range of what it can look like. So I work on a computer at home. And there are times when what I've done, when God's given me a word that I've really felt has blessed me, and that I thought, right, I want to focus on this, I've taken a photo and I've pasted the text of that promise, of that word from God, and then I've made it my background on the computer. Why? Because that meant when I started up the computer, the first thing that came up was the word that God had given. And so I'd take a second, just a second, to think about that and to thank God for it and to remember it. And then I'd get on. But then at some points during the day, you minimize things and suddenly you see the background again. And I set myself, right, whenever I see that background, take a minute again. Take a minute to think, to thank God, to pray it again, and then just get back on with it. Now what you'll notice with that method, A, it's practical. So it involves my actually doing something to set up this moment of reflection on God. B, it's not very time consuming. It took a few moments here, but it meant that I'd have that awareness of God's presence throughout the day. Now that doesn't always work. Here's another detail that's often forgotten. What works at one point doesn't work at another. There will be times when you try something, when you set up a practical method of meeting with God, and it blesses you, and it encourages you, and then it stops working. And you know what? That's fine. Because you're a human being, and human beings, we have seasons in our lives, and what works at one point doesn't work in another. What matters is living in God's presence, not the legalistic, this is how to do it. And so I don't do that at the moment because it stopped working, because it got too habitual and I started to lose any sense of God's presence from it. So I set that method aside. Another method I use, I write articles, and once I've finished an article, you always pause for a moment to reflect and just to breathe in, because you know you're going to be writing on something completely different. One minute I could have been writing about Doctor Who. The next, I don't know, a random things going on in the United States involving Green Arrow. I don't know. Anything can happen. My brain can have to shift from one thing to another. And so you need to take a second in between those articles to get your brain working. What do I do in that second? Well, sometimes I'll go and get myself a cup of tea. Yes, I've started drinking tea a bit more, Dave. You'd be proud of me. But sometimes I'll get myself a drink or a packet of crisps, because I'm still a bit of a crisp addict. But I'll also take a second just to think about God and to thank Him for being with me and that the gifts He has given me are the gifts that allow me to do my job. And in doing that, I believe I remind myself that God is with me in my work. As I use the gifts I've got that I believe God has given me, there is a connection between what I'm doing and God. And I'm reminding myself of his presence and his closeness. And sometimes, if it's not a particularly busy day, I'll put on a worship song for a minute and just enjoy it. Now that's a practical method. And that's one that I do use at the moment, actually. And that helps me in my use of this way of life, in my recognizing the presence of God. One that I know other members of the church have used. Break time at work, because not everybody works from home. Break time comes at work. What do you do with it? And I know members of the church who've decided, right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go for a stroll. And as I go for a stroll, I'll just say a little prayer. Nobody else knows that you're spending time with God. You're just walking down the street for a minute. And because nobody else is around you, nobody knows. There's nobody there at work thinking, why are you just staring at your computer screen in silence for a couple of minutes? What's going on? That walk means you're out of the pressure of it. So that's a method you could use. When I worked at the co-op, another method I used was I realised my break time was slightly different to a few other people's. So I'd go into the break room, and I knew that I would typically have about 4 or 5 minutes before other people came into the break room. So I'd take those 4 or 5 minutes just to quietly say, right, God, thank you, you're with me today. I am stressed like mad because I am hating being on the phones right now, but thank you, you're still with me. Laura's nodding, remembering that experience very well. But it's all about finding these ways to set aside time. And the point I made about the paradigm shift is these aren't ways to tell God, come into my life. He's already in your life. These are ways of taking moments to focus and recognize his presence, to increase your sense of awareness of his presence, of his closeness, so that you can then go out into the rest of the day with the sense of knowledge that God is with you, so that we as individuals can be that habitation of God's presence within the community, and that people around us will get a sense of, ooh, there's something different about them. One of the most honouring moments I ever had at the co-op was when someone I had never talked to about God asked me to pray for them. I'd never had a single conversation with them. I didn't even know they knew I was a Christian. And they asked me. And I am personally convinced that it was simply that they sensed God's presence. And that can happen for each and every one of us. I'll wrap up with one last point that needs to be drawn out. You see, it's quite easy for us to think, right, but I'm so busy. How do I set aside time? How do I do that in a really busy day? The answer is, you can't get through your busy day without it. When Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, I love how the Amplified Bible translates that word power. The ability, the efficiency, and the might. Do you want the ability to get through your day? Well, that ability comes from God. Do you want the ability to be efficient at what you're doing? It comes from God. Do you want the might to have done a good job? To have got through the day and to think, right, yes, done it. It can only come from God. And that doesn't mean every day is going to be easy. But it does mean that we are dependent. We are made to be dependent upon the presence and power of God. That's the way we were meant to live, like Adam and Eve. We were made for that intimacy of relationship. And when we try to do it without that sense of God's presence, we're not doing our best. You want to get through the day. You want to flourish. Well, the way is to recognize the presence of God, to seek to dwell in the knowledge of his presence and to live in it. Now I'm going to close with one last bit. I know I said that a second ago. I'm sorry. It's literally just come to me. No, you need to say this. One of, you're so used to my saying this sentence. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in the very last verse of Ezekiel 48. The final line in that whole book. It's a prophecy of what the world will look like when God comes again. The same kind of theme that Mike spoke on last week when he talked about Revelation 21. About this city of God. And this verse says, the name of that city is, the Lord is there. I love that. What is the characteristic of the perfect world God is going to bring about one day? The Lord is there. But what is the characteristic I want my life to be centered upon in this world? The Lord is there. What is it that I want people to sense when they spend time with me? The Lord is there. What is it I want to define me? The Lord is there. I want that promise of the future to be realized in my life. So that when people see me, they know the Lord is there. So that I don't fear and get stressed and worried because I live in the truth that the Lord is there. I want that to sum me up. If at the end of my days, that's all that's said about me, woohoo, I'm happy. And I just want to challenge each one of us to take this seriously and to say, right, what do I want my life to be summed up like? What do I want my day to be summed up like? And I just sense today that God wants for each one of us that sentence to be what defines each one of us. The Lord is there. And this practice of spending time, taking moments throughout the day to focus on God, it's a step towards how we bring that about in this world. I'm just going to close in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you made a way. You made a way for us to be reconciled to God. This isn't something we've earned. We can't deserve it. We don't attain it by our own efforts. It's a gift of grace, won through the cross. And at the moment you died, the presence of God, the way for it was opened. Thank you so much that you are with us. Help us to live in the truth that you are with us and that you are in us, as close as the air we breathe. Help us to live in that, so that we do become characterized by that truth. The Lord is there. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.